We can't say for sure, but the story of creation as it's now told in Genesis chapter 1 maybe was meant to be used a lot like we used it today, as a piece of worship, as liturgy. The repeated words, "And God said," "Evening came and then morning," "And God saw that it was good," all support the idea that this might have been for worship. And maybe it was even designed as it is to be simple enough for children. As worship, it celebrates a creator in love with his creation, which makes it all the more strange that folks have fought over this Genesis 1 in the name of both science and religion. Picture a group of exiles, Jews brought as captives to mighty Babylon 6 centuries before Jesus. They're gathered in the space where they're permitted to worship. There are monuments to power all around them, especially the tower to Marduk, the storm god who was chief god of Babylonia, and the temples of other gods and the palace of the king. But in a humble place of worship, the exiles recite these words, celebrating the creative work of their one God, a God who is unseen, but who is creator of all, whose word alone spoke all things into being. "In the beginning, the Lord God." And the liturgy goes on to spell out how in 6 days the Creator brought light from darkness and order from chaos and designed all creatures, including humans. And it progresses to that 7th day when all creation rests in the blessing of its Creator. So in spite of Israel's defeat, the chaos of having been uprooted, the mighty monuments to Babylon's gods all around, the Lord God, the Creator, is the one responsible for all things. And the world still moves according to God's plan. The people with little power have this litany of creative reassurance and resistance. At least one well-known Bible scholar, Walter Brueggemann, thinks that Genesis 1, as we now have it, came together in the 6th century BC in much this way, for people whose identity and future were in trouble. Well, Earth's in trouble now, and we aren't doing what we need to do to assure its life. That's "we" meaning all humanity and we here in the Presbyterian Church in Burlington. In the face of such unprecedented threat to creation itself, where do Christians turn? Last week, we turned to the very last chapters in the Bible, in the Revelation, which affirm that God will not give up on earth, but promises a new heaven and new earth to come about right here, in the setting of this one. This gives us a promise of hope and a framework in which to work for the new creation, the redeeming of the earth talked about in other places in the New Testament. This week, we go back to the beginning, to the work of the Hebrew storytellers, for some guidance on the relationship of the Creator, creation, and us. The worshipful story of creation takes 6 days. But the climax seems to come on day 6, when God creates humankind. The very image of God is in them, and God speaks directly to them, unlike the other creatures. And even says, "Have dominion over every living thing." If having dominion is understood to mean power and control to serve human wants and needs, well, it's been obvious for a while that this isn't the guidance we should take now from Genesis 1, if it ever was. Sure, when Earth was a wilderness and there were a heck of a lot more saber-toothed tigers than human beings, multiplying and subduing had their place. But for decades now, many Christians have recognized that Earth's in trouble largely because we've understood dominion to mean using industry and technology to serve our wants without thinking of the good of all creation. So, okay, maybe we need to look at humankind's relation to the earth in a different way. One alternative that some of us were taught along the way is that earth's just a temporary place after all, and heaven is where it's at. The earth's like a stage set where the real issue is narrowed to the question of sin and salvation, with the goal of saving human souls to go to heaven. This theology taught us that too much attention to the world was a distraction or a waste of time. But more and more evangelical Christians, seeing that earth is in trouble, are opening to a wider view of creation. A more enlightened look at our human dominion over earth is to realize that we are stewards here. There's plenty to support the view that humanity's role is not to lord it over, but to tend the garden, to manage wisely the gifts God placed us here to enjoy. And so in answer to the huge crisis in which we find ourselves, there are techniques and regulations to apply, decreasing our carbon footprint, hybrid cars, community-supported farming, solar and wind power, not to mention the endless stream of products which claim to be green. But if our answer is only in techniques and regulations and products, it may be one more way to believe that we ourselves are in charge. And our stewardship can amount to being faddish or congratulating ourselves for going green and being politically correct. And in a wider social context, this can mean endless debate and conflict over policies and regulations. So maybe there's something deeper at the heart of what Genesis 1 can give us believers as guidance today. For this, I thank Wesley Granberg Michelson for an article in Sojourners magazine. Maybe the approach to creation we need is expressed in relationship, or a theology of interrelationship. Creation has infinite value because of its relationship to the Creator, not because of its use to us. So before we ever even get to that sixth day of creation and human beings, we learn that God created a host of other things. And before humanity is charged to have dominion, we hear how satisfied God is with other things, calling them good. We could say that God has been bound to the entire creation by speaking it into being, by calling it good, by giving it a blessing, that this is a relationship that won't be broken. What's more, God rules the creation by graciousness, allowing it freedom. Not the heavy-handed tactics in the stories of the gods of other nations around Israel, like Babylon with its Marduk. The best expression of God's love toward creation is Sabbath. All creatures in joyful rest with the Creator. God, in other words, is a creator, not a coercer. In this theology of interrelationship, humankind takes its place within creation. We love the world not to use it, but because God made it and loves it, and the world gives glory to God. The dominion God gives us isn't power and control, but to follow our Creator's own example as a gracious ruler, respecting and trusting and cooperating with creation, not trying to remake it for ourselves. We may think of environmental crises as something modern, but even in Scripture, people's failure to honor God by their sinful manipulations makes the earth sorrowful. The land mourns. And although many of us were taught to think of the gospel as all about the good news for human hearts, the sinful heart of humanity, and the hope of heaven, the New Testament talks about the healing of creation too. The words read from the letter to the Colossians today say that through Christ, God was pleased to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, by making peace through the blood of his cross. We need a new approach to the creation, with guidance found in the ancient story of the Creator in love with his creation. So in love that God gave the only Son, not only to save us, but to heal the earth. Let this be the place we begin as stewards. Whether we're involved in supporting local farming, investigating solar power for our roof, or witnessing to others about God's relationship with our precious planet. And God saw everything that God had made, and indeed, it was very good.